to the NutriMedical Report. We have Ann Morrison here. And we have a lot of topics to talk about. And, of course, this Hurricane Matthew barreling up the coast, causing a lot of destruction. Death already in Haiti. I think several hundred thousand people already lost their power in Florida. It's possibly going to turn away after it finishes off Northern Carolina. That's what that storm track is. This is the storm surge is probably the most dangerous aspect. Well, would you want to start with Hurricane Matthew or any other topic?
Well, I think that what we want to start with is I do want to make some comments about Hurricane Matthew.
Right.
You know, it came out of Africa, and it came out as one storm. In other words, it was a blob of warm, it was a low pressure. That means it was circulating counterclockwise, and it formed over the Atlantic Ocean, and it was close to the equator, so it was over warm water. And then when it got to the Caribbean, what happened was that it formed a second eye, and that became Hurricane Nicole. Now, if you look at the wind pattern, both of these are low-pressure areas, and they're circulating counterclockwise. And you would think that they would be separated because Matthew, the side that faces Nicole, will be going north, and Nicole's side that faces Matthew will be going south. And so you would think that they would separate. But in fact, they share a common wind field. So I'm not thinking that these are two separate hurricanes. I'm thinking what we're seeing is one hurricane system that has two vortices.
That's really unusual. That's like the tornadoes that the natives call dead man walking, where you see one tornado twisting around another. So at a distance, it looks like, you know, a native person miles away walking across the plains.
Yes.
So,
and I don't think that the National Hurricane Center has, they don't have the vocabulary for such a thing.
Right. One of the things we're seeing hemicanes, which are hurricanes deep inland, up to 1,000 miles. We're starting to see weather systems that really defy previous categorization, which suggests that, number one, was it geoengineered, or is it due to galactic and solar events that have never before been seen in our modern history? Something different is going on, for sure. So it raises a lot of questions.
It certainly does. And now we know that the ocean has warmed, and we know that the Gulf Stream, that is the water that comes from India and used to go into the Gulf of Mexico and then up the east coast of Florida, was cut off. So the warm water that comes from India is now going up the east side of Florida instead of going into the Gulf. But the Gulf is plenty warm in any case. So all this warm water along the coast is driving Matthew, and Nicole, it is smaller, it has a smaller wind field, and it's heading towards Bermuda. But the fact that they share a wind field is, I find, interesting. And if you notice that the track that the National Hurricane Center is drawing, it looks like a circle. It's going to get up to Cape Hatteras in North Carolina and then circle back around south. And wind field for Nicole will be, between, on the Matthew side of Nicole, the wind field is going south. So it's going to drive Matthew south. And so that's very interesting, too.
Yeah, it is.
And if it goes further, I mean, if it goes far enough south, it'll cut across Florida and go into the Gulf of Mexico.
So in other words, it could go back and hit them again.
They can go into the Gulf of Mexico. The Gulf of Mexico is very, very warm.
Right, that's because the loop current's not bringing out that heat out of the loop current. They're still using, by the way, corrects at 9,500, and that loop current, which is a separate boundary zone between warm and colder water in the Gulf, isn't bringing it out to make the North Atlantic drift, and it's significantly less powerful going out towards Scotland and Europe. So as a result, a lot of that heat is still localized in the Gulf of Mexico, and the waters are warmer than ever, aren't they?
That's right. It used to be that the Gulf current, that's the water current, would go into the Gulf of Mexico, circle around, and then come back out. So it would would heat the water, whatever heat was in the Gulf of Mexico, would heat the Gulf Stream, and then that Gulf Stream would carry it across the Atlantic into the British Isles and Portugal and Spain and France.
There's a tropical area in Scotland up near the Isle of Lewis. You're familiar with that, right? Up in, believe it or not, almost northwestern Scotland, there's a tropical area on the Isle of Lewis where they grow palm trees and even tropical plants. Pretty cool, hey?
Yeah. Well, they'll probably be able to keep doing that because the USDA has already changed the growing band for the middle of the country. They've changed it from a 4 to a 5, saying that we're going to be able to grow more tropical plants here in the middle of the country than we ever have before.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, now, so I did want to make those 2 points. One, yeah. I think it's one hurricane system, and that is been designated by the National Hurricane Center as 2.
Right.
And then also there is the possibility that it would go into the Gulf of Mexico. If it goes into the Gulf of Mexico, it will strengthen. It'll go from a tropical storm into a hurricane, and I don't know whether it will sit in the Gulf of Mexico off Louisiana and like that other. It wasn't a system. It was just the warm blob of air that captured the moisture, so we had a warm moisture blob that sat over Louisiana and dumped 20 inches of rain.
I'll mention a few classified things that are for forming storms and for dispersing storms, and this is from inside sources and Space Command. Firstly, you can create what's called a plasma interferometry. It looks like a pinwheel. If you're to see the distribution of frequency spikes in a pinwheel-type fashion, it'll pull in storm cells over a period of days or weeks to form a storm. Then you can move around just like a moving a joystick. And secondly, you can create a boundary zone. There's a boundary zone in the North Pacific Ocean blocking weather systems moving to California. So part of the reason why we've had this chronic drought is there's a boundary zone that's been persisting there for up to 4 years, on and off, mostly on. This storm could easily be dispersed. There's lots of dispersal technology, some of it with planes, some of it with materials. One of the latest technologies I know from my sources is a thing called plasma technology, where you basically have a ground-based plasma gun or even high-energy laser. And what you do is you can actually create a charging of the ionosphere that can, you know, burst clouds to rain, number one. You can actually create an ion field boundary zone by creating waves that create giant waves in the upper atmosphere by converging satellite-based interferometry fields, so you can actually move storms around or break them up. So the fact that we have the storm, we aren't trying any technology at all, nothing, to try to move it out. For example, I think it was 6 or 7 years ago, at least, where the Russians had a giant cyclone heading towards Sao Paulo, Brazil, and they called up the Brazilian government right out of the blue and said, well, we have technology. Would you like us to come down and move that storm so it doesn't destroy Sao Paulo, which is one of the biggest cities on the planet? And the Brazilians say, great, come on down, we'll pay for it. And they did, and the Russians moved it. So the fact that this storm is striking the United States, which could put power out, and it's also hitting, by the way, a very strong Republican state that is a very important battleground state for the election of Donald Trump, and up the eastern coast, yeah, it seems awfully suspicious. The fact is that even during the time of Katrina, there was no need for that storm to cause the devastation it did or the storm surge. The first questions you have to ask is, what technology do we have that could modify this storm or move it out? And there probably are lots of technologies that we could do to reduce the devastation to the people there, and we don't. And that concerns me.
Right. Okay, well, I want to move on to terrorism, because we have, there are some, I know that you hadn't mentioned that, but I wanted to get your clarification on some points that have been hit just in this morning.
Right, so, are you talking about the terrorism in terms of the Russian-Syrian attacks in Aleppo, things like that, or?
Well, I'm going to start there.
Okay.
Yeah. The Russian Ministry of Defense has warned a nuclear war is on the horizon, and you'll notice on the map, I have a map here that shows what they call Obama's Asia Pivot Strategy, and what he's got is, you know, he's got American troops in Australia. He has increased naval access and increased troop presence, and 2,500 Marines. And then in Indonesia, he's got combat forces and U.S. aircraft carriers. And then he's got right off the coast of Japan. And, of course, we do have a defense treaty with Japan that we have a U.S. Ohio-class submarines with nuclear warheads.
Right.
Now, he also has U.S. aircraft carriers that carry nuclear warheads and they're parked right off of Afghanistan in the Indian Ocean. And he also has Aegis destroyers at the Strait of Gibraltar. So then we've got all sorts of troops in Europe, and we have the NATO's ballistic missile defense system.
Right.
Spain.
Yeah. Yeah, you got a long list there, and of course we went over the 8 points that Joel Skousen put. He's predicting war decades from now with Russia, but mistakes can happen when you have stupid policy on our part and the counter pushing by Russia. War could happen. We're on a footing right now where if somebody decides they're going to shoot off a concept hypersonic cruise missile or an Iskander Alexander missile, or hit it with a super cavitation torpedo, our Navy can go down. All of a sudden, we're dealing with a thing where a Russian jet falls because they set up a no-fly zone. And the first weapon I would expect would be an EMP weapon against America. And then the second would be a missile destroyer strike directly our military bases in the Mideast. And the third would be hitting military bases all over the world. And then a phone call from Russia, either capitulate or we're going to destroy your cities. So, I don't think Russia's going to take this easily. I think that we're playing a game with chicken, and the chicken is not going to get off the center of the highway.
Yeah, Russia has warned that, and this is in quotes, schizophrenics from America are sharpening atomic weapons for Moscow.
Right.
And that nuclear war could be imminent. And, of course, they did evacuate 40 million people in Israel.
That war game went on, by the way, from the 4th to today. And it's the largest war game by any country in the history of the world for World War III.
Yes. They are restoring roads, building temporary bridges, and handling many other problems. They're trying to get what we have already done here in the United States. We have federalized emergency response. I don't know if you've noticed that, but we have. The response to shootings is very, very fast now.
Oh, yeah. And those things are good. We should have, if not bomb shelters, I call big bomb shelters, they should have basically warehouses with materials that we can do home bomb shelters, because you just need to convert a room. You don't have to have a giant underground thing for hundreds of people, because a lot of time the launch warning time period is going to be so narrow, especially if the roads are jammed. You want to be able to go into a safe room, because nuclear war is quite survivable if you're out of the blast zone and you have a safe room. So.
Well, that's right, and they could be dumping a crate of bricks on everybody's front yard and telling them to reinforce their safe rooms.
And they just give them Joel Skousen's book, How to Make a Safe Room. I mean, I've got the book right here. It's really easy to do. You just, if you can't dig down, like where we're sitting, rebars actually into the second hardest rock on the planet, which is blue granite. Our front doorway is made of blue granite. This is the second hardest rock on the planet, right after the stuff they use for stones and playing curling in Scotland. This terrorism thing is getting really crazy. On Wednesday, we talked with Harley Schlanger about a report with a ISIS leader being interviewed in Germany that said straight up that America is giving weapon systems to them and even giving them trainers. They're now trying to get the man pads, which is surface-to-air missiles. This is pretty crazy. We are not just going through proxy nations like Qatar. We're directly giving weapon systems to al-Nursa and ISIS itself. And when we say to the Russians we're trying to collaborate with them, we're not. The Russians have accused us of just moving the rebel around of towns and cities that have been bombed hundreds of times. And unfortunately, this is true.
Okay. Well, I looked at the population map for Russia, and as I suspected, most of the population is in Europe, the European part of Russia.
Oh, yeah.
St.
Petersburg and Moscow and towns and cities in that area of Eastern Europe is where 90% of the population, very little, is scattered throughout the west of Europe. Some of it's in areas like Ukraine and Crimea, which is like 96% Russian. And a very tiny percentage all the way out to Vladivostok and these areas which are very near Japan in the far eastern area of Russia and near Siberia.
Well, most of them are in the European part of Russia.
Right.
And so the 40 million people is pretty easy to see where the drill was held. And the drill rehearsed radiation, chemical, and biological protection for the personnel and population. Mm-hmm. And I think that's interesting that it's more than just radiation, that it's also chemical and biological.
Yeah, you're wise, because if there's going to be a war, it'll be a combined war. It won't just be nuclear weapons. It'll release a biological, chemical, and even possible satellite-based scalar weapons.
Yes, and of course, relations between Russia and the United States have broken down due to disagreements over Syria. And not only are they moving these 40 million people, they're planning a drill in Africa with Egypt. Now,
that's interesting.
Later this month. And the president of Egypt doesn't like us.
No wonder, because we actually threatened them to take their industry out, and the country's run pretty well by their generals that own a lot of the industry, if they didn't support the Muslim Brotherhood, which, by the way, Uma Abedin's mother was one of the senior founders of the Brotherhood, and she's got her 20th year anniversary with Hitler, Iraq, and Clinton. And we basically threatened the Egyptians that if they didn't release them out of prison, the Brotherhood, we were going to cut military spending, ties, and all kinds of support to their country. I think Obama's support of radicalization groups like the Muslim Brotherhood, even the Muslims and the Christians in Egypt, were ticked off of this. It's like, what are you doing? You're interfering with our internal politics and trying to support a group that's actually going to cause trouble in our country. So,
yeah. Russia is going to deploy specially equipped paratroopers to Egypt, and they're also going to put their equipment on their soldiers that is designed for hot climates. And so they, you know, I think that they want to get into the Middle East even more efficiently and more effectively than they have before. And
they've already proven that now.
Russian military air carriers will also take part in the drill.
That's
the first time that they've done that. Anyway.
Well, this force, by the way, in Syria right now is Iranian, Iraqi Shiite militia, Peshmerga Kurdish forces, a lot of them also from eastern Turkey, not just from the areas of Iraq. And it includes the local Syrian forces, which, by the way, includes all national groups, including Christians, Jews, Shiite, and Sunni. So they're, you know, the Syrian government is one where all parties are involved in the battle to keep the sovereign state of Syria. It's the only sovereign state outside of Israel still in the Middle East. Everything else has kind of been mushed by our interference.
And then this week, on top of everything that I've just talked about, John Kerry suspended talks with Russia on Syria. And this just knocked me off my feet when I heard about it, because the gulf between Russia and the Western powers on the Security Council over Syria, you know, it's so wide that they're not even talking. In fact, the Security Council is meeting to see see whether they should be sanctioned. And so and then Kerry today, John Kerry, he called for war crimes investigation of Russia and Syria. Well, the ICC, well, okay, I hear music, so I guess we're about done, but I want to talk about the ICC.
Yeah, we need to talk about that, because that's a bizarre statement to make, war crime statements.
Yes.
It's bizarre.
Yeah, we'll be back in a moment.
Yeah, exactly. I want to hear that when we come back in. We'll be back in a moment. Stay right there.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN, and of course you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at NumanaRepublic.com. That's NumanaRepublic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
While the large majority of Americans have never heard of cryptocurrency, it is the medium of exchange of the future that has already begun. On the other hand, the large majority of RBN listeners are very aware of the corruption within the Fed and the trillions in counterfeit money and credit it has created. Well, would you like to do something about this? OneCoin, the fastest growing company of any kind in world history, will pay you to help do away with the Federal Reserve. Henry Ford didn't invent the automobile, but he surely developed many great improvements in the industry. In 1927, talking pictures made silent movies obsolete overnight, and email has practically done away with the need for a fax machine. With cryptocurrency, Bitcoin became the pioneer in 2009. But now OneCoin, as the first ever gold-backed cryptocurrency, has moved to the top of the industry in only 2 years, and its impact on the financial world could be devastating to the Fed. Bill Gates and Richard Branson and all the jillionaires are already acknowledging that this system of paying for goods and services is becoming what will be recognized as the new worldwide reserve currency. For more information, call Pat Shannon at 601-212-0911. Again, that's Pat Shannon at 601-212-0911.
Would odors, mold, and mildew describe your basement or crawl space? It doesn't have to be that way. Transform them into a fresh, healthy, usable one with the technologically advanced Wave Moisture Control Units. The computerized operation maximizes moisture control and also expels harmful radon, combustion gases, and numerous other pollutants. Dehumidifiers are old technology that do nothing for air quality and waste energy. Wave units are intelligent, self-monitoring, do not need maintenance, and will save you hundreds in electricity. Wave units are still running effectively over 15 years. They've been tested and installed in public and military housing and by property managers nationwide. Buy a unit now, and if your home is not fresher and drier, you can return it for a full refund for up to 12 months. What have you got to lose? Call now. 1-888-618-WAVE. 1-888-618-WAVE. Or visit MyDryHome.com. That's MyDryHome.com.
Wave Home Solutions for a healthy, comfortable home.
Welcome back, and we have Ann, and this action by John Kerry, and the provocations by not only a U.S. Army general, and the activities of Obama almost seems out of character. It's a little bit too exaggerated, and timing, you know, a month away from federal election in the United States, where the military and the border guard directly on the side with Trump, with the situation, this is very inflammatory activity, isn't it? It's just not even necessary.
Well, and I'm not even sure it's legal, because Kerry called for a war crimes investigation of Russia and Syria, but we haven't ratified the ICC. We have assigned the agreement, but we haven't ratified it. So we're not even a UN member that is a party to the agreement. So how can we call for a war crimes investigation?
I think it's just political posturing. I can't see it with a senior politician like Kerry that he can be realistically saying this. I'm not sure what his purpose is. It doesn't make sense to me, because firstly, the Russians have caught us straight out lying about trying to fight ISIS. They know that when they've come with their relatively small campaign, they're making great little strides. They're about to take back Aleppo. We haven't made any real attempts to get Raqqa. And we talked about getting Mosul. It should have been done a couple of years ago rather than now, after they've been launching attacks and spreading around the world. ISIS, we have G20 nations buying the oil. Why didn't you have a resolution in the United Nations to say G20 nations shouldn't buy the oil from ISIS? This is just craziness. It's like, are you kidding me? Now, let's put it this way. It'd be like having babysitters and passing out live ammo to children. That's how crazy this is.
Well, the countries who are a party to the International Criminal Court are all of South America, Mexico, Canada, and Greenland, which would be Denmark. Europe, for the most part, almost over half of the Africans, southern half of Africa, and Australia, and Mongolia. Mm-hmm. And the states, the countries that have signed but not ratified the ICC include the United States and Russia.
I mean, the two parties that are, it supposedly concerns.
Yeah. So, and China has neither signed nor ratified the statute. So, and India and Saudi Arabia and Libya and Indonesia. But in any case, you know, here it is. Russia and the United States, we haven't even ratified the ICC, so why is he even bringing it up?
I don't understand it. They're certainly not going to change the policies, and it defies logic. It does. It really does. I think it's political posturing that must be have something to do with the election. Maybe they think it's a good strategy to support Hillary. Hillary can't defend herself on a record. And what she's done in Libya and the Middle East is obscene. So, you know, if Trump can get onto her record and get onto issues that will make America strong again and rebuild the military and treat the veterans properly, so the veterans can't get into or their regular VA doctor, they should be able to go to any doctor in the damn country at the cost of the VA. I don't understand why what we're doing here. This doesn't make sense at all. And Putin is actually pretty damn reasonable. You know, even Pence was making statements of he's a small dictator and all this stuff. It's like, get with the program, Pence. Putin is what he is in this country. He's got 86% of the people supporting him. What you have to understand is he wants to collaborate with us to get rid of a common enemy. You know, let's not be picky about his personality or his background or the nature of the Soviet Union, now Russia alone. The fact is they're rearming their military. And if we really tick them off, they could really do some very bad damage to us. So why do this? I mean, it's not productive. It's ridiculous.
On the John Moore Show this morning, we had a caller from Mexico, and he said that his son had received, his son is in the reserves.
Right.
And he had received a letter from the armed forces saying that he had to be ready. He's an MP.
He had to be ready for a call-up, probably for active duty, right?
Yeah, in 2018.
Yeah, in other words, what they're doing is the international communities are being pushed by globalists and these transnational corporations to get ready for a great big freaking war, because the real issue is they can't fix the financial problems. They don't want to write off the debt. And basically, they want to bail in, which is why they're threatening Deutsche Bank. So to me, they're pulling up what's called the war card when they can't fix the financial situation in the world. That's what's going on.
And the caller hadn't even heard about these threats from Russia that he was...
Oh, really? So he wasn't aware. Oh, wow, that's interesting.
Yeah, he was really... He sounded scared when we told him.
We should be, you know. If people aren't sweating balls right now, it's worse than the Cuban Missile Crisis. They're not paying attention.
That's right.
Back in a moment.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
IRA and 401k account holders. Are you crossing your fingers for the stock market to continue its bull run? Or hoping for a miracle to pay off our $19 trillion national debt? American Bullion wants you to think for a moment. If we go through another significant stock market correction and things begin to unravel, you could suffer some serious losses. On the other hand, gold is a proven long-term asset that could hedge and protect your retirement accounts from getting washed away. Call American Bullion now and let them show you how easy it is to transfer your existing IRA or roll over your 401k into a gold IRA. American Bullion has an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau and is a leader in gold IRAs. With just one call, their experts can explain everything there is to know and get you started with a free gold IRA guide. Call 1-800-545-2525. Save your retirement. Call American Bullion now at 1-800-545-2525. That's 1-800-545-2525.
As a regular listener to Republic Broadcasting, you certainly understand the times and circumstances that we are living in. You certainly understand that the good times are over, and you certainly understand what we are heading for. Though we do not know what exactly is going to happen, we must assume that it's going to be a disaster. Are you prepared for that mess? Go to www.bugoutpanama.net and get the necessary information on our growing community of awake and prepared individuals, just like you. At www.bugoutpanama.net, you will learn how we are preparing on our farm, Finca Bayano, for what is coming. Emigrate while you still can to our village, where survival is of the utmost importance. Prepare. Don't despair. At www.bugoutpanama.net.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
And one of the comments that Les did yesterday by the, I call the Hildebeest, is she said that Trump doesn't get it, that global warming is a major threat, and that, in fact, if we had the climate treaties done, there wouldn't be hurricanes. I'm thinking, I'm hitting myself in the forehead saying, you've got to be kidding, Hitlery. All of a sudden, you're a climatologist. There's so many drivers, even people like myself, that are environmentalists, one of the charter members of Greenpeace almost 50 years ago, an oceanographer before I went into medicine, and I'm looking at this and I'm saying there's a lot of drivers and no one has a complete computer model of everything that's controlling this. We do have climate modification technology to break this up, but the very fact that she makes a statement like that is like, you've got to be kidding, Hillary. And then she tries to make the statement that Trump doesn't understand, therefore he's going to be incompetent because somehow she does. It's like, Hillary, stop it.
When she was Secretary of State, Obama didn't agree to the climate change treaty.
Right.
So, and I assume that she didn't either then, or at least she couldn't talk him into it. He agreed to it this last spring, and then he signed it just about a month ago, and but it did not go through the Senate, and
it's not ratified, is what you're saying.
That's right, and it's an executive order, it's a regulation, and if Trump gets in, he doesn't have to follow it.
No,
because it was never ratified by the Senate.
Obama is a narcissistic fool, and Hillary Clinton tries to pretend things that aren't based on reality. And she lies so much she can't keep her lies about her lies about lying straight. It's amazing. And you know, it's like with her defense with the state, with the FBI. She's either demented or she's a liar. Another way, she's incompetent and shouldn't be running for president.
Okay, I want to talk a little bit about what's happening with Zika. And on my blog, probably during the live stream, we'll talk about it a little bit more. We still have Zika and it's spreading. But right. I want to talk about a related subject, which is the related, mysterious, polio-like illness that is paralyzing the children here in the United States.
Yeah, I did a little research on that, too, by the way. It's an enterovirus D65. That has a higher incidence. That's one of many viruses that can do it, though. That's more common with that
many particular. Viruses.
Many viruses, and but that's the most common one lately, and there are 25 states affected with 50 kids this year so far.
That's right. It's going back up. And this is like the Guillain-Barré syndrome. This is a polio-like illness. It's usually acute. It isn't chronic. And what happens is that it's an upward traveling paralysis. It starts in the feet, and then it goes into the legs and goes into the hips. And if it gets as far as the diaphragm, then generally you die because you can't breathe.
Right.
And but not everybody, it's an acute paralysis. That means it doesn't last very long unless it gets up into your lungs.
Right.
And then, but it does occur, and they initially had said that it was, like you said, it was that virus. But now they're trying, they haven't hooked it in yet to the Guillain-Barré syndrome. And what they finally have decided is, well, it can be caused by many viruses. And so this is the this is called acute flaccid myelitis. And
yeah.
They think that it came, well, initially they blamed an enterovirus for the illness that was detected in 2014 that paralyzed 120 children.
Right.
But they're saying, well, it's a very rare complication of an illness. And we see it because it occurs from many different viruses.
Yeah.
And they're not covering the fact that this Guillain-Barré syndrome, which is the same kind of paralysis, comes from Zika.
Right. Let me describe it more in the biological terms, because that's my background, infectious diseases and immunology. Firstly, it's an anticholinergic antibody. That's why it's ascending. And it starts off in the longest peripheral area, so the longer the nerves, the more likely they'll show the first signs of paralysis. The shorter nerves, like bulbar, are later on. So if it gets up to the bulbar area, your throat, where you can't even control your swallowing, that's really, really dangerous. There's several ways of doing it. Now, first thing, years ago, we'd have a thing called cyclosporine A. We have a number of disease-modifying drugs that can literally turn off your immune system. We also have nutraceuticals like high-dose Power-C, Cell Defense Plus, and anti-cytokines that actually will shut off your cytokine response, including malignant arrest with a ketogenic diet that will actually shut off the stimulation of NK killer cells and the production of anti-cholinergic antibodies. It's the cholinergic antibodies that do it. They literally start to lock on the receptor and shut off the motor input down the corticospinal tracts to the periphery. I think actually doctors need to be more aggressive with immunologists and natural nutraceuticals as well. And I don't mind doing both. Use the drugs and use the nutraceuticals, and then kind of back off the drugs when it starts to look like it's regressing, and keep on the nutraceuticals to monitor the cytokine levels and the antibody titer. I think that we need to start doing anticholinergic antibodies on all children when they first come into the hospital. And one of the things that the way I got into this was back in 34 years ago, I was working with a head of immunology and pediatric research and immunology at the University of Calgary, and we were looking at juvenile onset diabetes. And we found out, we tested all the relatives of children with juvenile onset diabetes. The kids, firstly, always had a serious viral infection or a traumatic accident like a car accident or a major surgery. and their titer went off like a rocket. But all the relatives had islet cell antibodies. Real low titers, but they didn't have obvious disease. But if they went through a major trauma, car accident, and we found if we just used cyclosporine A, we could literally shut it off. So they'd stop destroying their pancreas. So I think we need to start developing what I call a gold set of testing criteria for all children entering a hospital that we're going to measure their titers of these antibodies that can attack the myelin, attack the cholinergic receptor, because it's not just an enterovirus D65, it's in pretty well a whole range of viruses. Why it's increasing so much, particularly in the last year or so, I don't have the answer to that. All I can say is it's not just one virus, but we have to understand that whatever's going on, it's the antibodies against the cholinergic receptor that cause it. And if we measured that and then we'd intervene with drugs and nutraceuticals, we'd already terminate it, so these children would end up on a ventilator. So we need to be more aggressive with our screening and with our approach, and it should be immediately these kiddies, when they come into hospital and they're in extremis, we should have an immunologist on staff immediately to see them. We should be putting disease-modifying drugs and high-dose nutraceuticals like high-dose Power C, Cell Defense Plus, Cell Detox Glutathione, et cetera, all these things that we know that will shut down cytokines along with the drugs, and then taper the drugs off pretty quickly because they can have nasty side effects, and realize that it's a immunotoxic disorder that occurs with a wide range of viruses. What do you think of that approach?
Well, what they've discovered is that all these cases that they diagnose have shadows in the x-rays that they take along the spinal cord. So it seems to be a condition that affects the spinal cord, and that's why it's an upward moving.
And you know why those shadows? You know why those shadows are there? Because if you actually measure the cerebral spinal fluid, what you find is high levels of tumor necrosis factor alpha, what's called neurotenins and bradykinins, and high levels of free radical singlet oxygen, hydroperoxy and nitroperoxy radicals. So what you're actually seeing is edema of the perineural sheath of the nerves, around the nerves as they exit the foramen, and you're going to see a shadow because it's going to increase the density, and you're going to see soft tissue edema along the perispinal tissues caused by the acute inflammatory cytokine surge that's occurring along with the anticholinergic antibodies. So if you actually do a CSF and measure tumor necrosis factor alpha levels, they're going to be real high. And the level at which they're going to be high is the level at which it's going to be the worst part of the acute paralysis at that particular spinal level.
From January 1st until the end of August, 50 people have been confirmed to have the acute plastic myelitis. And those cases occurred in 24 states. Well, as it turns out, it's not required for the states to report it. So they won't tell you what states reported it.
That's not good. That should be kind of a standard thing that you'd want to report it. So you'd also want to get a screen, and not just on the kids that are really sick. To me, if a child's really ill, even an adult patient, they should have an immediate titer done, like a blood draw and a titer done to see if they have cholinergic antibodies. And if the child deteriorates clinically, they should have repeat titer to see if it's rising. If it is, they should be put in hospital before they end up getting an acute ascending paralysis, because this can evolve. I've seen it happen where I've seen a patient and an old patient, and within 5 to 6 hours, it's ascended from their ankles up to their chest, and they're needing to go on a ventilator. It can happen really damn fast. I mean, it's just like, whoa, how'd that happen? And if you're not on top of it, before you know it, they really have to be bagged because they can't breathe anymore.
Yep. In 2015, 21 people were confirmed to have it in 16 states. Now, we don't know what the crossover was between those 2 years among the states. And then from August, now this is really bad, from August to December 2014, so you're only talking 5 months,
right,
120 people were confirmed to have acute flaccid myelitis, and that occurred in 34 states. And again, we don't have any crossover data between the states.
Well, what you want to do is you want to know three things. You want to know what virus is probably the one involved. You want to know maybe the metabolic and nutritional status of the child to see, do they have extremely low levels of, say, nutrients like selenium, because it's primarily a free radical problem that's caused by a viral insult, and the free radical problem triggers off anticholinergic antibodies. And if that antibody titer goes high enough, it just shuts down the receptor and you stop walking or breathing.
Now, this is the statement, the disclaimer that the CDC put out. It says, to protect patient confidentiality. What about my? What about my getting this? The CDC is not specifying the states that have confirmed acute flaccid myelitis cases.
I don't know how that would affect their personal privacy.
I don't know either.
That's it doesn't make sense. Understand. It's like you're not releasing names. You're just simply saying it's in our state and it's infected in a certain town or city. And then if you know the virus, then you can have doctors monitor it. Because I was the CDC's monitoring center, so I'd have viral cultures in my office in Denver, and most doctors were sloppy and lazy. They didn't do any viral cultures, didn't monitor titer, didn't know what the hell the viruses were, and they had no idea. They had to call the CDC, and guess what? The reference stuff was coming from people like me and a small number of docs that had the viral cultures and would do the blood draw right in our office and send it off to the CDC's certified lab for immunotoxicology. So the problem is doctors are lazy. They're lazy, and it's like, you guys need to tighten things up here a bit, especially when you have something that looks like it's starting to take off.
Okay, acute flaccid myelitis can be caused by a variety of germs, including enteroviruses, which you've talked about, polio and non-polio, West Nile virus. Now, what is West Nile virus?
That's flavivirus.
Flavivirus.
Right.
Yes. And so that includes Zika and Japanese encephalitis and chikungunya and one other.
Yeah.
And,
by the way, the chikungunya has spread up in the last year and a half, all the way from the Caribbean to New York State in 1 year. That's how crazy it is.
Well, that's because the mosquitoes are going up to New York State because the warm water that's going up the coast of the east coast of the United States.
Wow.
Lewis encephalitis virus and adenoviruses. So we've got enteroviruses, we've got flaviviruses, and we've got adenoviruses, and they can all cause acute flaccid myelitis.
By the way, the adenovirus is a primary cause of long-term antithyroid microsomal and thyroglobulin antibodies. And it takes can take as long as 18 years for it to go through its full course of burning your thyroid out with the antibodies gradually chewing up your gland. So it may not happen overnight. You can end up with acute, your gland swells up, so you say, oh, look at your throat, and you've got basically a pulse to adenovirus goiter. And your thyroid can look normal for maybe 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 years. And all of a sudden start to burn out enough where you actually go hypo. And your body temperature drops and you get fat and maybe turn diabetic and start getting hypertension. So adenoviruses, a lot of these viruses are not benign. But they can take a long time for it to finally have nasty effects on your body.
Okay. Now, this can also be caused by something besides viruses. It can result from viral infections, environmental toxins, genetic disorders, and Guillain-Barré syndrome. So, which is a...
there's probably, in other words, there's probably environmental factors that are involved here too, besides they're tenderizing and increasing the risk. Maybe if someone has certain gene SNPs, they're at higher risk if they do get a viral infection of the convergence causing, you know, more rapid or more dangerous paralysis. There's probably a genetic underlying factors as well, and nutritional.
Well, I would like the CDC to do more, because having your child become paralyzed, even if it's just for a short time, is very disturbing to parents, especially when it happens right after they get the flu shot.
Well, you know what I found out, and they tell you that it'll go away. It doesn't always go away. Sometimes when this paralysis sets in, it stays. And it may be not as bad as the initial case, and maybe they're not on a ventilator, but it may not mean that in 6 months they're walking again. You know, it can be a long road back. It takes several years if it indeed happens at all.
Yeah.
So it's not made like it's going to go away in 6 months and you're going to be fine. Some of these kids are still paralyzed or have some paraparesis 2 years afterward. They're not walking normally or running or playing anymore.
Yeah, John Moore knows somebody who got the H1N1 shot back in 2009. She's still suffering.
Right. In fact, H1N1, and the other one that was really bad for that was the swine flu vaccine. A lot of people not only get respiratory.
That is H1N1.
Yeah, but what happened is, this is, I'm talking about the original one years and years ago. There was one back in 2009 that caused it, but the old one years ago caused a lot of people that got respiratory arrest or ended up with an acute ascending paralysis. And I don't know why the H1N1 flu was so bad this way, but it was. And the 2009 one caused a lot of damage, too. So,
well, I heard it was a bad virus, vaccine. I heard it was a bad vaccine, and people knew it was a bad vaccine, but they still gave it to other people.
Well, I think it was, it was between the virus and the adjuvants they used in it, and the combination caused some, you know, this is one of the problems whenever you use adjuvants, you can create anti-tissue antibodies. Now, because I'm curious, I've measured these. For example, at Immunosciences in Los Angeles, how many doctors do you think measure anti-tissue antibodies when they're looking for a whole range of viruses? So somebody come in to see me, say in Denver, I'd measure their and their immune reactions of IgG and IgM, not just to say cytomegalovirus or Unicline Village Nevada HHV6. I'd measure it to all the viruses that they had in their panel, and then I'd measure a panel of anti-tissue antibodies. And what you'd often find is these people had four or five viruses or pathogens in their body, and they had a whole range of anti-tissue antibodies chewing up their tissues, from their thyroid to their adrenal glands to nerves to God knows what. So when you get a bad virus, it can stir up your immune system to start going crazy and attacking different tissues.
Well, I'm glad that you're out there, Dr. Bill.
Yeah, anyway, when I mentioned it, I was surprised. When I talked to my infectious disease buddies or other internists, they go, well, how do you know that? I said, because they measured it. You're kidding. Where'd you do it? I said, I did immunosciences in L.A. They said, oh, that's interesting. I'm thinking, damn it.
I want to go to preparation then.
Let's do that. They need to prepare in Florida right now, I guess, or if they haven't. My wife's niece is actually living in Jacksonville, and her hubby is a super prepper. All the neighbors want to go to his place, but it all happens in Jacksonville.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and of course you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at numanarepublic.com. That's NUMANARepublic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria from totally neutralizing the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutraMedical.com.
I remember when I lost my mind. There was something so pleasant about that place.
Welcome back to the Dr. Medical Report. This is Dan Morrison.
Yes, and I'm back too. You'll go ahead, Dan.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Well, I have this report, and it's out of the R&D magazine. And they did a study, and they say that the global coffee supply is threatened by climate change. And I had read something similar last year, and I had looked up to see if there were some substitutes that you can use. And it doesn't include chicory. Chicory is used in New Orleans to make it's an additive to coffee, and it gives it a little more flavor. But chicory does not have caffeine in it.
Right.
So we're going to have the coffee-growing regions of the world are between the Tropic of Cancer and the Tropic of Capricorn.
Right.
And there are almost none in Africa, and there's a few in Indonesia, and, of course, there's a lot in Central America and Colombia, Ecuador, Peru, and Bolivia, and Venezuela, and Brazil, which is the part of South America that surrounds the equator. Now, this was done. This report was done by the Australian nonprofit, the Climate Institute. And what they say is that coffee plants require a stable, consistent environment to grow, but factors like rising temperatures and changed rainfalls are affecting crop yields in areas like Colombia, Mexico, Ethiopia, Vietnam, and Brazil. And these countries belong to what's called the bean belt. Now, we think when we say bean here, we think about soybeans, because we're in the Midwest. But the bean belt is what the coffee affectionate people that drink coffee know about it. And other key points is that the warmer weather is increasing the risk of crop-related diseases like coffee rust, which is a fungus, and the rise of coffee bear borer, a beetle species that's difficult to control with pesticides. Now, as it turns out, there is a native plant in the United States, and it's native to Texas, and it actually grows wild there. It's considered a weed, but it's called Yapon holly, Yapon holly, and what you can do is you can dry out the leaves, and they're full of caffeine. So I suggest that as a prepper, what you need to do is order. You can buy the seeds really cheaply, but it takes you about 5 years to get the plant to grow. And so I would suggest at least a 1 gallon plant. And of course, you can buy 5 gallon plants and 7 gallon plants. And it's a species of holly, and it's native to southeastern North America. And what you do is you just have to dry the leaves mix them up. I mean, make them.
You can do an alkali extraction too, is what you're saying, right?
Yeah, and it's called. This may give you some idea of what it's like. I mean, it has enough caffeine in it. It's called Elix vomitoria, meaning if you get too much of it, it'll make you vomit because it's got so much caffeine in it.
Wow.
Yeah, this is good stuff. Preppers, you need to grow this.
Interesting, great idea. We should do an update, if not right after the show today, but in a half an hour, probably tomorrow. Lots of stuff to cover, especially with this storm moving up through Texas, through Florida, up to South Carolina, North Carolina. We don't know the storm track, but it looks like it's going to turn around and maybe go back across Florida to the Gulf. That would be nasty, nasty. Thanks a lot, Anna. Amazing analysis. Coming up, hour number three, the firing line, where Michelle gets all your questions. She's the host today. With all your questions by phone to our order line, 888-212-8871, or emailing us through NutriMedical.com. Contact us. We'll be back in a moment to try to answer your questions.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.